Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd, subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi hab li hukma wal hiqni bis salihin waj'al li lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. We welcome you to this program, Madrasa of Marcus Sahaba. And today we are busy with Kitabul Iman, with the chapter on faith. And remember, last week we were discussing about the difference between Iman and Islam. And we deduced that Iman is the inner declaration and Islam is the outer fundamentals. They both have to do with each other. They cannot be separated from one another. So the Iman, when we speak about Iman, it refers to the inner self, the inner, the acceptance with the heart, and to declare with the tongue what has been accepted with the heart. So one, if any one of these two, one hasn't accepted with the heart, and one hasn't declared with the tongue. So one person, he accepted with the heart, but with his tongue, he has failed to do it. So there too, he will not be considered a Muslim. Another person, he accepted with his tongue, but in his heart, he doesn't accept Islam. He just did it because he wanted to be with his company, and he felt if he did not bring Iman, then he would be devoid of this. So he just said it with his tongue. So if that is present, both have to be present for you to be a Muslim. You need to accept with the heart and you need to declare with the tongue. That is why we stress so much on the recitation of La ilaha illallah, and to recite it with conviction in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're renewing your iman, that you are saying La ilaha illallah with your tongue, and then with your heart, your conviction is connecting to the Rabb of the worlds, to the Lord of the worlds. And once this takes place, this connection between your heart and your tongue, and this is directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that effects will definitely display on your outer self. And the elders, our spiritual elders, they are the spiritual doctors. Hakimul Ummah, Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was called Hakimul Ummah. Hakim is one who deals with the curing of certain sicknesses, etc. He was the spiritual doctor of the heart, Hakimul Ummah. And he would notice and identify spiritual causes, and then he would treat you accordingly. So if you forgot or you are slacking in terms of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will give you a medication. And this is a spiritual medication, meaning something that you have to recite. So then you would have to recite and take Allah's name a certain amount of times. And depending on the person, remember, doctor doesn't give everyone the same medication. It will depend and it will differ from person to person. So he was the spiritual doctor. When your heart is at ease and your heart finds tranquility in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then generally, naturally, you can just flow. Naturally, you can just accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it starts with this dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It starts with the dhikr of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the durood, which we mentioned. Durood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you're saying La ilaha illallah a certain amount of times every day, and remember, you should establish it according to how much you can manage. And we always stress that do not put too much of burden on yourself that the next day you fail to continue. So do a little bit, at least that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is entering. Slowly, slowly, your iman will be rising. Slowly, slowly, you will be able to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slowly, slowly, you will recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slowly, slowly, you will find yourself that, no, I need to do this year. I can't forego this year. This is Allah's command. This is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's command. I cannot be I cannot fall back on this year. And then you will have that, probably not the way the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had it, because we can never reach their level. They saw Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But perhaps we can have that same spirit within the confines of this environment that we have today. Perhaps we can have that and create that spirituality of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That when there is time to complete a command, we don't slack, we don't fall back, and we don't look for excuses. But when there is a chance, an opportunity, despite fines, despite our lives being in danger, we are ready to fulfill and we are ready to comply to the Sharia, to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ideally, love is identified by this year in the following of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when this is activated and you're reciting in the morning Allah and La ilaha illallah, and you are reciting some durood will be recited softly, and some Allah, you'll say it a bit loudly so it can penetrate, and you should do this in seclusion. So once this happens and this takes place, then after a while, our spiritual doctors, and they tell us to continue this year, a day will come where you will be scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will penetrate in your heart. And when this happens, then you will think, this tongue took Allah's name in the morning, how can I do this action here? This tongue took Allah's name in the morning, how can I do this here? This heart was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning, how could I do this here? This is the effects of dhikr, and this is why there's so much of stress on zikr, on the dhikrullah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it ideally, then it comes, it starts with the heart, the tongue, and then your submission translates and is interpreted in a way that is according to the sunnah and according to the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the two fundamentals. One is the tasdiq bil qalb, that is the tasdiq, the acceptance, the acknowledgement with the heart. Remember the Jews of that time, of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, they knew Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They recognized him, they knew everything, but they did not accept him. So that's the difference. When we accept something, you know something is right. Your heart is telling you that I should be in the masjid at this time. Your heart is telling you that everything is open. I need my masjid as well to be open. When your heart tells you this, but your mind, your voice is saying something else, then there is conflict between your heart and your tongue. So let's put it in iman. When there is conflict in your iman, meaning that you are saying La ilaha illallah, but in your heart you don't have it, or you are saying with your heart La ilaha illallah, but you're not saying it with your tongue, then you are not considered a Muslim. It has to be together. Tasdiq bil qalb and iqrar bil lisan, that you acknowledge with the heart and you iqrar, you tasdiq with the tongue and declaration. So tasdiq, that is the acceptance with the heart, and taqrir bil lisan, that's the declaration with the tongue. So this is what has to be in terms of the shariat, that when you accept iman, that iman, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest gift in the world, such a gift you cannot see it. And someone gives you, or you go into the marketplace and you are walking and someone says, they just come up to you and they say, take this item here, it's for you. And you say, okay, but I don't really need this item, but fine, I'll take it. And you go back home and you just store this item. And after many, many years, you are scratching in your cupboard or you're moving homes and you find this item and you say, this item here is something that is so appropriate for today. For example, someone gave you ivermectin medication years ago and you find it and you say, but this year is so, and this is what everyone is looking for at the moment, and you have it. That's just a simple example that is not even worth when you're comparing it to iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this kalima la ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to recognize him and his rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba radiallahu anhum and those that followed and those that followed until the day of qiyamah, all those that followed them. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you such a great gift, you can't see it, you can't recognize the value of it. But when you come on the day of Qiyamah and now your iman is being weighed and you see that your scales are heavy, then you realize that iman that I had there in the world, it has so much of weight today, so much of weight that it is outweighing all my sins, all my bad deeds. Why couldn't I just have that little bit more extra so I could gain the full benefit? So while you and I are alive right now, we are breathing alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Let's say alhamdulillah for this breath that we are breathing, this oxygen. La in shakartum la azidannakum. When you make shukr for a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he increases it for you. This bounty of breathing where so many people are suffering, and there's no doubt about it that this oxygen is a valuable, priceless gift. And for you to breathe it in, you need to make a lot of shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless my grandfather, Mulana Abdurrahman Khan, rahmatullah alayhi. He lived over 100, and once when he was walking, and he was those proper Pathans. So once when he was walking, and he used to sell items, go house to house. And people would complain to the children to say that, why don't you look after him, that he has to walk house to house to sell? Can't you people just give him some money? So one of the children, they took the initiative, and they couldn't handle these statements, although they did try previously. So they went, they bought a bucky and they got a driver, and they said, here's it, please take it. He was those proper strict Pathans. So he would say, no, I don't want this. I don't need this. The reason why I'm doing this is for my own health, for my own benefit, for my own rozi. That is what is commanded to us. So then he had that mindset that, and alhamdulillah, till a late age, he would continue and pursue this here. So one day someone asked him that, how is it possible that you are at such a late age, but you are active, you are more than young, like you are younger than certain young people in terms of your ways, in terms of your actions, in terms of your health, alhamdulillah. So he didn't direct it to himself. He did not direct this to himself. He said, alhamdulillah, it's through the Quran. You recite one part of Quran every day and you breathe in that fresh air, Fajr time. After Fajr, before Fajr, that fresh air, because it's a new day, that oxygen, that is what contributes to your well-being. So in those times where we are suffering and this oxygen is being limited to certain people, something you cannot see, but we believe in it. Likewise, we need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his unseen help. So this oxygen we need to make shukr for. La in shakartum la azidannakum. That if you make shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it for you. So while for us that are in good health, let's say alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this great oxygen flow that we are breathing in. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give shifa and total shifa, complete shifa, to the point that nothing remains for those who are sick. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist them. And if death is written out for them, then we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they pass away with iman. Our worry and concern is every single person must pass away with iman. With the kalima la ilaha illallah. When a person does not pass away with iman, we need to be upset, we need to be sad, and we need to be worried that this person left the world without Iman. That is a tragedy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift of Iman. Through this gift of Iman, why is it such a great gift? Because through this gift of Iman, you recognize the creator of all the other gifts. Once you are able to recognize the creator of all the other gifts, you are going to keep on turning back to that creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the king, the master, the owner. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this heart, when you speak about something, it enters your heart. So when you speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to enter your heart, your conviction, your reliance is going to be totally on Him alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to speak, we need to talk, we need to take His name, we need to remember Him. As much as we are sending coronavirus messages, we need to worry about and send messages on Iman, messages about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, messages and hope for the believers. Remember, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should not frighten people. Frightening, or something to the effect that you should not frighten people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised this. So you shouldn't frighten people with the amount of people that are dying. You don't even know if it's legit, if it's true or it's not true. But rather give them hope and tell them what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us and how to address the sick people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Remember, the main thing here is Iman. And to compete in doing good actions. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ It is in that in which competitors compete for. So we just read one story and we have 5 minutes. So we're going to read one story about Hazrat Ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu's failure and his strength and his bravery against the Romans. So in 26 AH, Uthman radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa of that time, appointed Abdullah ibn Abi Sara radiallahu anhu as the governor of Egypt in place of Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. Abdullah radiallahu anhu, with 20,000 mujahideen, let's just... It's worthy of to take note that our mujahideen in Afghanistan, while the whole world is worried about death, about coronavirus, they were inspecting a tanker that came into their possession while the US soldiers are fleeing from there. And there, that is success. You stay firm onto the sunnah, you stay firm onto the sharia, and you stay firm onto the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people will flee, but you will remain, and you will be in success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us all with this glad tidings. And if something, if death has to take you away, then remember, you pass away as a shaheed. There's never ever a loss for a believer. A believer is always moving towards the greatness, the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A true believer, he is always searching for that happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, 20,000 mujahideen advanced to meet the Roman army numbering 200,000. So 20,000 against 200,000. It was a very fierce battle. The Roman commander, Jarjir, made a proclamation saying, the person who kills Abdullah will get my daughter's hand in marriage and also 100,000 dinars in prize. So the person who kills, so the commander of that group said, whoever kills Abdullah, he will get my daughter's hand in marriage and also 100,000 dinars in prize. Some of the Muslims, they grew anxious over this proclamation. When Abdullah ibn Zubair was informed of this, he said, there is nothing to worry about. We may also announce that the person killing Jarjir will get Jarjir's daughter in marriage, 100,000 dinars in prize, and also governorship over the area now ruled by him. Look at this. The fight was very tough and went on for a long time. Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu succeeded in spotting Jarjir seated behind his horses under an umbrella of a peacock feathers held by two maids, two servants. Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu all at once outskirted the Roman troops and approached him. He attacked Jarjir with his sword and severed his head from his body. He then fixed the head on the point of his spear and returned to his camp, to the utter amazement of both the armies at his matchless bravery. When the Sahaba emigrated to Medina, no son was born to any of the emigrants for 1 year after the emigration. The Jews of Medina said, "We have cast a spell on the emigrants. They cannot have male issue." Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu was the first male child born to the Muhajirin. The Muslims were naturally very happy over his birth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not generally allow the children to take oath of allegiance to him. But when it came to Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, the honor of pledging allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was only 7 years of age. During this battle, he was barely in his early 20s. To go single-handed and kill the commander after hoodwinking his army of 200,000 men at this age, it is really marvelous. Look at the youth of those days. They were so looking for every opportunity to go and do. What are we as youth doing today to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we making a plan to enter the masjid? Are we looking for gateways, every excuse? In Kandla yesterday, they had groups of people, but no fines were given out. In fact, the police say, no, they were taking a lesson. They were taking a lesson from that. But we as Muslims, we're supposed to be more courageous in these times, not in breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for opportunities, breaking the law of men and coming under the umbrella of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making and dying with iman. This is our objective. And remember, we need to keep on renewing our iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq. And let's spread this hope, and let's spread this bravery of the Sahaba, and let's see how we can come together as a ummah again and come back to the ways of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our time is up. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Mustafa, tu mujhe haj pe bula.